Father, with the time that I have left today, I pray your Holy Spirit would breathe upon this in ways that it gets into our lives and reminds us how to use it. And as Pastor Tim, as Discerning Dad's ministry, will give us discernment on when you make a turn, we turn with you. When you go off trail, we go off trail. When you get us back on trail, we get back on trail. Father, I pray the Holy Spirit would remind us this week to stay on your trail. In Jesus' name, amen. Today's message is God loves a good day laborer. Anybody ever do any day labor before? Yeah, I have. Yeah. During Julie Fanning used to pick me up and I would do weeding and all sorts of stuff. And I think my son's first jobs at like 6 and 8 were day labor. Yeah, they were hired to help do a weeding job, you know. And of course, God loves the hardworking people who provide for their families. But that's not what this message is about. Today, we're going to define day laborer. It's going to mean a little different to you, I hope. It's going to mean a little different to God once you talk. Because once we talk about this, it's going to challenge you to live your life possibly a little different. I'm going to give you a little definition of day laborer. Day laborer is one who works in the day, does his works in the light. All right, we're going to get in that scripture. Does his works in the day. Does his works for the light, right? A day laborer is one who will follow him over culture. A day laborer, one who follow him over kin, right? Pastor Larry talked about last week. Let the dead bury the dead. But what? But all the excuses. But my family, but. I think we're coming to, this is going to be a tough message. Billy, you're going to love this. This is how I picture it was in your house anyways. I don't know. Lord, I'm already away from this notebook, but I feel like we need to talk about the love of God and how to express the love of God. And our main message to the church is Jesus came to forgive sins, and he wants to forgive your sins. If you're faithful and just to repent, he is faithful and just to forgive. Bottom line, that's our message, right? But we've got, I feel like this is a season, it's time to toughen the church up a little bit. Yeah, and if you ever had daughters, and you're a dad who's had daughters, you do them a disservice. Like you princess them. I princess my girls. But don't think one of them couldn't hook you in the jaw if they needed to. They're tiny, but I wouldn't. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know, Billy, I don't want to be punched by Lori. I bet she can punch a fool. If you don't mess with Lori, like, why? She raised a little tough, you know? I'll tell you what, if we did like this fight bracket and you have to be the lone survivor in the church, don't think for a second you drew an easy draw if you didn't get a guy and you got Pastor Sharon. Woo! You're out in the first round. I don't care who you are. She's not going out in the first round. I don't care who you match her up with. So you'd be like, right, Caleb? Like, yeah, you don't want my mom in the first draw. You're like, no, not in the first draw, you don't. No, just tell her she'll never be able to hug Taylor again if she loses. Oh, you're down. Boom, you're down. It's just the way it is. And I feel like the church has to toughen up in some things. If we're going to be what we need to be in the future and how God needs to use us, it's time to toughen up some things. So today's message is a little one of those toughen up kind of things. I'm going to try to do my best to do it justice, but it's going to be that way. We're defining day laborer. A disciple who will follow him beyond religious mindsets and even their own mindsets. To follow God beyond religious mindsets and our own mindsets sometimes. He's looking for day laborers, right? He's looking for a day laborer for when the work is given to him, with the day that they have, they do the work. Ever hire somebody to do a job and then do the job? Man, we spent like 4 or 5 days on this computer thing. It's driving me crazy. Just saying, I don't like that. You know, Mark's worked for me. I got, when did you start? We're starting 2:15 on Tuesday, right? We're going to be done. I'll be done Thursday around 4:30. Excellent. That's what I like to hear. Thank you, sir. Boom, and he does it. He's in and out. He does his thing. Good day laborer, man. Yep, got it done in the time he was given to get it done in. I wonder if we're doing the same thing. Because I've hired people before. Well, I just had to text my, well, we got to check this TikTok out. Just hold on a second. It's my lunch break. You had lunch break earlier this morning. You got here at 6. Your lunch break was at 10. Yeah, no, I know. Right? Ever have that kind of day laborers in your life? Yeah, ever been? No, you don't see if you've ever been one. It's okay. This message is kind of like a prequel. A mini series I'm going to do coming up. I don't know when because there's a couple things. I'm going to do a series called The Prophet of Priorities. Yeah, but this is kind of like a precap. Instead of a recap, this is a precap to what that may be. That I may say priorities. Yeah, that's what we're going to talk about. We all have some prioritizing to do in our lives. And this is a Body of Christ message here. There's a portion of this that's going to be woven in up at the convention. We have to carefully consider our lives at this season. And carefully consider our priorities. Like never before. This is the season. And we can't go on like we are because you're not going to be tough enough to take what's coming. I'm trying to help the church. Be the beautiful battle maiden of Christ. Right? It's the season. We have to. We have priorities in natural things, don't we? In emotional and spiritual. We have priorities. Priorities in the natural, right? I'll give you an example. Breathing. Breathing is a good natural priority to have. Say you're out snorkeling and you're like, I drop you in Samoa, in Aasu, the other side of the island, Bloody Basin. And you're down there and you're like, wow, I see this Spanish sword. And you're snorkeling, right? And you're about halfway down. You thought, oh, it looked like it was about 10 feet. Man, that might be about 25. I don't have any air left. I'm starting to not be able to breathe. You have a choice. You have a natural priority that you should take, the option of service and breathing. That's the one you should take. You can dive down and get the sword and die. That is an option. But lots of times, we have to understand there's natural priorities, right? And that's breathing is a natural priority, right? It's important. It's what we should do. Do many of you have any emotional priorities? Anybody have any emotional priorities? If you belong to a family of any kind, you sure do. And if you think you don't, that's your problem. I know, I'm not counseling today, I'm preaching, I got to move on. I got a little time clock that reminds me of it. But if you have relationships with other humans, you have an emotional priority to some degree in their lives. Spiritual priorities, have any spiritual priorities? Right? Yeah, there's lots. The categories are endless in our spiritual priorities. So I want to give you a couple points to ponder, maybe just one, but this is it. We have priorities of various types of importance. Is that true? Various types of importance and priority. And as your shepherd in this church, I want you to carefully consider what I'm going to talk about today. Right? I want you to carefully consider that our physical priorities, our emotional priorities, our spiritual priorities are all, say all, all those priorities come under the proper alignment of God's priorities. Sometimes one thing's a priority, and sometimes another thing's priority. And you need to know what God thinks is the priority in the moment that you're in. Because that makes all the difference in the world, right? So you're going to say this, like, Pastor, so you're talking about spiritual priorities are always first, right? No. Spiritual priorities are not always first. Like, oh no, one of those churches. Yeah, I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to prove it because Jesus proved it. I'm going to. Imagine, just in a natural sense, okay? Imagine if you will. I want you to get your imagine thinking caps on. Remember, you're a little kid. Put your little thinking cap on. Get your imagination station out. Ready? Imagine if you will. Picture a guy. You're out there hiking in the soups, and there's a guy crawling. You're back, and he's crawling on his hands and knees towards you. You're like, oh, that's the guy that's been lost for 3 days. And he's crawling towards you right through the Sonoran Desert. And he's got cracked lips and sores, and he is just, he can't even speak. His tongue's swollen. You can see it as he gets closer. I hope your first natural priority is what? Give him water. Well, I could, you know what you could do? Well, I happen to have my U-Bible here. And I can preach to you. I've got a captive audience. I want to know the condition of your soul right now. That would be a great spiritual priority, wouldn't it? No, the natural one came into play, wouldn't it? Give him water. Homeboy needs to survive. right? Worry about his soul after he's been hydrated. You know, sometimes spiritual things aren't always the priority. Jesus prioritized physical conditions a lot, right? He did. He cared about people being sick, injured, hungry. He fed a bunch of fools all the time, right? You know, want to hear something crazy? Jesus broke the law. Wait, Pastor. No, he fulfilled it. Thank you, Bible scholars. I appreciate that. He didn't break it. He fulfilled it. Yeah, he did both. I'm going to show you a different side of the dice about Jesus. Jesus broke the laws at, he was like, well, you know, the bad laws. No, no. Jesus broke even good, common sense, decent, respectful laws sometimes too. He broke them. And the crazy thing about this lawbreaker, he was still sinless. What? He broke the law at times. Good, decent laws. Good, decent laws were broken by Jesus on the reggie. And he was still sinless. How does he pull that off? How does he pull that off? Okay, give me an example, Pastor. Okay, he worked on the Sabbath. Law broken. Why was that a big deal? I mean, that's not worked on the Sabbath. I've worked on a Sunday or two myself, you know. No, worked on the Sabbath. Why was that? Why was that a big deal? Because it was a greater priority than it seemed God would have at the time. Because he put it in the Ten Commandments. Right. It wasn't just some Pharisaical law, some garbage law. Oh, I forget about that. Don't you forget about that? He broke God's law, one of the big ten. Jesus, the sinless one, broke a big ten. Oh my goodness, it's going to be a good message for us. It is. Think on this though, right? The law of working on the Sabbath was made by God himself. So at times, say at times. And honestly, we're going to say sometimes a lot, but here's the truth of it. Whenever he wants to reprioritize something in your life, he's right. So if he wants to every time, then every time is right. But sometimes he'll mess with our priorities and what we think is the right priority, and it's not. And sometimes it's just religious, and we don't even know it. So are you stuck maybe on something? Maybe sometimes religious reconstructions of your mindset keep you from following God. Can you say sometimes? Sometimes, right? Sometimes. He did reprioritize natural spiritual conditions based on one thing, based on what he thinks is most important. And he knows everything. So sometimes when he doesn't prioritize the way I see it and the way I feel biblically, if I go to him, I'm going to ever go to God like you're a lawyer? That'd have been a good one. Ask Amber. Oh, I would have been a good lawyer. And I could present a case based on his own words. So I went, hold on, are you saying God? Is that what you're saying? Based on what I have here 14,000 years ago, you actually said this, it's on record. So I'm going to claim that. Oh, there's a higher priority? Yeah, you're God and I'm just a lawyer. Got it. I can change it up, bro. That's what his priority is. He's got greater things. So here's another crazy thing about Jesus. Jesus also did unclean stuff. Oh, oh no. Oh no. TikToker. Oh no. Oh no. Oh no. Oh no. You know, not that. Jesus did unclean stuff by Jewish standards and by cultural standards. But Jesus is the cleaner. How can he do the unclean? I'm confused this morning. So that's deep, Pastor. But seriously, think about it. Jesus spit on someone once. Actually, he did it twice, you know? And not like a little sprinkle, like I'm in the front row and I'm like, you know, and paper turtle porcupines are present. And I'm spitting all over the girls. They got little flakes, you know? Boop. Kaylee's real, she's real sweet. She's just like, I'm going to let it, when Pastor turns around, I'll wipe it off my forehead then. I don't want to embarrass him. He got a little spittle on me. Panda's like, Pastor, you know? And Miley's like, ew. You know, that's how that happens on Sundays when I spit on them. But that's not that kind of spit. That's not the accidental spit. You know, it wasn't a sprinkle. He spit on them right out in broad daylight. Now, please, I got to put a little note here. That's a good thing. Please don't be flaky. Check with God really, really, really good. Really good. If you ever think he's telling you to do that. Like, really check on that one. I've seen it happen before. I was questioning it, but I didn't do it, so I was good. But the Lord did tell me to punch someone once. Square in the chest. Yeah. And that kid remembers it to this day, and he says it helped him remember to serve God during hard times. Don't recommend punching every hooligan that you want to pray for, because some of those hooligans will punch you back. You know? But think about it for just a second. Nowadays, just go, but bring your thinking cap back again. Imagine if Jesus did that today, downtown AJ. He'd probably be arrested for attempted murder. Right? Branded a lunatic by a homeless guy. You know, like, oh man, just all spitting. That guy down AJ? He's spitting on people, man. You know, and if you're one of his friends, you'd be like, right? You'd be like, dude, that's uncool. It's COVID season. You know, I mean, I'm not talking the mask thing. Now you're all spitting on people. Come on, there's better ways. Glove up. Jesus, you know, come on. I really do hope to begin, though, to talk about priorities in God's heart and God's perspective in those moments. Because at times, we assume different things than what's really on God's heart. Ever blast somebody in a conversation, you just tore them up just to find out you misunderstood what they meant and said? Mm-hmm. It's the human condition. So I'm going to work on his priorities while we can. We got a limited time. Sister Karen, she worked on her priorities while she was here. She was a good day laborer, right? Now we're out in our fields, right? We're going to work on his priorities. Look at your neighbor. Say, work on your priorities while you can. Don't forget that part. Don't mumble that. Work on your priorities while you can. While you can. While it's still day. You know, and how about this too? Work on the right stuff at the right time. Yeah, ever get messed that up? Yeah. Working on the right stuff at the wrong time? Right? Yeah, you waste all sorts of time doing that. You know, just, I think God wants us to work on the right stuff at the right time. Right? I've had timing wrong before. You know, I didn't want to do the Samaritan's Purse thing today. I want to wait till I got back from convention. It was more convenient for me. It took up a lot of my time. Yeah. And Pastor Heidi reminded me it's a jacked up priority, not just because it's for the children. I said, I love the children. No one loves the children more than I love the children. Yeah, but if you don't get those boxes out soon, like soon, they're not going to get there on time. Oh, so the priority is this Sunday, they got to come in. Yeah, that's the priority. Got it. Check. I've had stock purchases when I should have purchased them at $3, and then I end up purchasing them at $9, right? Wrong timing. Good stock, bad timing. How about timing with, ever play baseball before? You can swing all day long, but if you don't do it with the right timing, you're out. And I guess I'll get off the pulpit for just this sake. I want to talk about kickball. Okay, if you're coming to the picnic, I don't care if you're the 1992 Olympic kickball champion and your curvy pitch can rip the side off a grown man's leg. This is family activity. I want all the children to be able to kick the ball. I don't want people falling down because you have a rocket kickball degree. You are the kickball champion. You have badges. You'll come in with your sleeves. You're kickball champion 14 years in a row. I'm in a kickball league outside of my fantasy kickball is what I'm into. You know, I just bring it down a notch. It's not dodgeball. It's family kickball. So don't be like, I'm coming ready. I got my kickball glove. Don't stop it. Just stop with the kickball glove. It's not the right timing. God has the way for each moment in our life. Do you believe that of God? Each moment, no matter what moment we get involved with, he's got a way. Mm-hmm. He does. So here's the key in those moments. If God has a way in each moment, we should just follow him. Well, that's pretty simple. Say, just follow him. Now follow him, not the probable religious expectation of action. Follow him, not the religious expectation of action. Follow him. Follow him, not the probable evolved cultural acceptance. Follow him over every instinct you have. Say, follow him.
Follow him.
Yeah. It's time to be a good day laborer while you can. John 9, 4 through 7 says this. We must work the works of him. Yes, we're pulling over there for a second. Work the works of him. And then I wrote in here, oh, hold on. Look at them like this. And then it says, not today, bro. Maybe at NSBI. Keep moving. Say, work the works of him. Who sent me? Work the works of him who sent me. Often we send ourselves and we want him to do the works of us. I'm your kingdom child. I'm the blessed and highly favored. Haven't you seen my four signs in my bathroom? Yeah. And so in this situation, do some works for me. No, we must work the works of him. Whose works? His works. Why? Because he sent me. Jesus said, okay, so you must do the works of him who sent me. While what? While it is day. Say, God's looking for day laborers. Guess what day it is? Your day. The days you have left is the time that you have to labor. That's what you have left. So what should we be doing? The works of him? While it's our day. Then the next thing, right? This next part. I'm just quoting Jesus. We must work the works of him who sent me while it's day. Night is coming. Anybody not feel that? I mean, I fast media now. I don't care about the news much anymore. I used to be on it. I find out enough stuff through the grapevine, through Facebook, through whatever. I don't need anybody to tell me that night's coming. I know. I can feel it coming in the air tonight. Hold on. Sustain. Sustain. Okay. Night is coming when no one can work. What? You got a limited time to get your job done. And then it's, step away. What? I didn't finish my cake. I don't care. You didn't nail it. I didn't, buzzer, no, time's up. No time left for you on my way to better place. No, if not, if you don't work in the day, you're on your way, no place, good. You got to work in the day that he gives you. What kind of works is he expected to do? His works. Why? Because night's coming when no one can work. You know, there comes a time when it's too late. Look at your neighbor and say, it's time to work now. And it says, we must. No, it was a must thing. It wasn't like, hey, I got a great suggestion from God the Father. Everybody, if you want to start possibly thinking about working while it's day, you should think about, pray on it a couple days. You know, see what he has to say to you. That's what he told me. No, he said, we must. We must do the works of him who sent me while it's our day, right? Right. As long as I am the world, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. NSBI, what is that in Latin? Come on. If I am the light of the world, we are the light of the world. Give me some Latin, somebody. Oh, someone's afraid. Ego sum lux mundi. All right, you're all going to have to come back to class. Every graduate's back this Monday. All y'all are back in class. Disappointed. Jeez. Come on, man. Don't be hiding back there behind Pastor Gale. I see you. Goodness sakes. No, it says, I am the light of the world. I give guidance through my word. How does he give guidance? Everybody, like, I don't know what to do. Ever said that? I have no idea what to do. Don't come tell, ask me until you read his word. What, you think you know better than God what I should do? Absolutely. Oh, sure. Come tell me. Professional counselor, I'll tell you what to do. No, you better go find what God said. Right? I am the light of the world. I am the guidance through my word and my works. Anyone want God's guidance? Right? Anyone want his guiding work of Jesus? Anybody want the guiding work of Jesus? Okay, check this out. Remember his word guiding us and his works. He's about to do a work. And then as soon as he said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with his saliva. What kind of unacceptable work can this be? It can't be God because, ever said that? Been saved a long time, you know, you're all proud. You know, I've been saved 43 years, and I can recognize what's God, what's not God, and that ain't God right there, that boy spitting in mud. Well, you know the rules? Come on, you've been the judgiest Christians your whole life. It's time to stop it, because sometimes you misjudge stuff that God was doing, and you ruin the moment. You didn't work when it was in the day, you worked against him, not with him. It's time to work in the field he gives you while it's day and stop getting bent over stupid stuff. Because we're religious. I'm back behind here. Settle down. I get the picture. He spat on the ground and made mud with his saliva. And then he spread the mud. Oh. What if I hacked a big old one right here? Yeah, you're like, well, yeah, I just even said it. And you're like, whoa, that's not acceptable to even say. He did it. His work. The work, he said, and do similar works than these. Oh, what about that? He spread the mud, as dirt in his spit. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what he ate earlier. He's a lot of fish. Just saying, I don't know. And then he said, and then the craziest, that's not even the worst part of the story. And then he spread the mud and the ointment on the man's eyes. He spread the mud like an ointment. You guys want to spit in here too? Because this is, I'm awful dry. Oh, nice and thick right there, like an ointment. Like an ointment, he spread it. Can you guess what the religious and cultural reactions of the time was to having spit and dirt smeared on a stranger? I'm sure it's similar to ours. I think I have some emojis. There we go. There's one reaction. The first one is the first one I came to. Like, what, honey, you went down? Yeah, you can't see? And I'm glad you can see, and that's great. But the dude spit on you? I'm going to talk to him. I need to see. I'm glad he healed you, but he spit on you? I want to talk to this Jesus, Jesus. I want to see him, you know, spitting on me. Or maybe it's like you just, what I said, what if I hacked up a big, you went, oh, some of you just did the actual emoji. Pastor Gail went. Just like that. Like, oh, he's spitting, right? And then something that Pastor Jody went, oh. Yeah, she almost threw up in her mouth thinking about it, you know? He spread the mud like an ointment on this guy's eyes. And then he said to him, the blind man with the mud smeared all over him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. Now, hold on a second. That's the first thing I'm agreeing with in the moment. Go wash off, thank you. Thank you. I don't want the spitty mud on my face. You know, what if he said, for the next 3 weeks, keep on the spitty mud? You're like, oh, no, no. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And so he went away and washed. I bet he did. And he came back seeing. What? Jesus breaking cultural norms. Sometimes, say sometimes. Every time someone got healed, he didn't go spit on them. But sometimes you have to break cultural norms to reach somebody. And it's in Jesus that unacceptable, dirty, Hebrew frowned upon, human frowned upon act. That at times in our lives, similar acts go on and we go, that can't be God. Now we use it the other way to justify our sin sometimes. I want to do this and this and this. What? You can't judge me. I wrote it on my chest. Says, don't judge me. Right after I write all my tequila shots down, bro. You got to know how to follow Jesus. Don't use it as an excuse to do stuff you want to do. Follow him through a road. Even if it doesn't look like it could be Jesus, if it's Jesus, follow him. Because sometimes church will jack you up, man. It will. Because say, I am the church. Oh, no, sometimes I can jack you up with my judgments on what's not God. And sometimes you're not going to get a blessing. Why? Because you're not going to follow Jesus and do the things he does. We'll get there because I have a little clock that says, look at the time. Okay. Jesus knew how his spit was perceived. He needed to break mindsets and priorities and preferences. Say preferences. I prefer a nice preacher with a tie. Well, it's going to be hard unless... I don't know who's going to preach with a tie here anymore. Maybe me sometimes. I don't know. We need to break our mindsets of priorities and preferences. Why? Because he sent us to do a job. And it's getting in the way. Especially at the season we're in. You got to be hard. No time for soft Christians. Soft-hearted Christians, but hard Christians. We must work the works of him who sent me while it's day, right? His works, you know, he sends us to do sometimes, say sometimes, right? They rub culture and religion wrong, don't they? Say sometimes. Well, listen, I'm not trying to encourage dumb rebellion. Pastor said, no. Got to rub culture, got to rub religion, no matter what, got to do it. No, that's not what Pastor's saying. But I am encouraging you to follow Jesus. Wherever he leads you, however he leads you to do it. If he desires you to do it that way, then do it that way. I don't care who's standing in your way. As long as you know that you know, Jesus said, it doesn't matter what anyone else says. But I don't think we have a bunch of Christians who will do that anymore. I think we judge the ones that attempt it, or we see such the garbage of the other ones with the excuse of their sin, and we trample on it, and we forget that God leads people. He leads the church. Say, I am the church. Okay, so here's some stories of controversial proportions. You ready? The names are going to be changed, hopefully, to protect the innocent. I, a few years ago, put myself in a questionable place during a questionable time. No one would have liked it. I probably would have frowned on anyone else calling me about it at the time, anyways. But I had a greater witness, I felt, that was involved. My friend's heart had a question. So as I was getting ready to leave them for the evening, I'm in a state at this time that not even medical marijuana is legal. Not even that. Okay? So any marijuana they'd been consuming would have been illegal. So I see that's going on. My buddy calls me a man of the cloth, and I want to slap it right in his head every time. He goes, well, since you're a man of the cloth, you'll be leaving now. Because he and his cousin were going to pass a little cigarette back and forth. And God said, stay a minute. I said, what? That can't be God. And my wife goes, nope, not God. But I felt that. And I need a confirmation quick. And my buddy said to me, hey, Skip, tell me why Jesus? And I said, I'm going to follow you through the field, Lord. And I pulled up a stool where they illegally did their thing, and I led my buddy to Jesus. In a place that I wouldn't recommend it I'd be. in a moment I thought couldn't be God. But not only was it greater, because the next morning, because I booked after that, they got carried on. I had to go check out some pizza. I had to. And so they're in the garage. As I come back the next morning, I haven't seen them. You know, there's beer cans piled up where they were hanging out, and I bounced, got some pizza. That night, I got home late because Mom used to hook me up. I used to love staying there. She would take care of me like I was Elijah or something. And I came down early the next morning. I'm sitting down with his mom having a cup of coffee, and he goes, "Hey," screaming. Now he says, "Mom." She's like, "What?" Because she was mad at him. And you know her. Yeah. She goes, "What?" He goes, "Tell her, Skip, Jesus is either liar, he's lunatic, or Lord, but he can't be all three." And he started preaching the gospel right there. From a moment that I know, even some of you in this room are judging for more now, and I don't care. I've got friends in my network that judge me for the moment then. I don't care. I'm not promoting rebellion or hanging out with your old homeboys as they're getting toasted. But I am promoting follow Jesus in a moment. Follow Jesus in a moment, right? Right? And some moments are particular, right? Some moments are real particular. You got to be careful, because you can't just transfer one moment's actions to another moment. You can't do it, you know? Lord, okay, over here I go. And this is the truth in the body of Christ. There's a moment where I can have a beer with one of you in this room. We can have an amazing conversation of God. And if we even had a thimble of a beer with you, it could be sin for some of you.
Yes.
You got to discern your moment.
Yes.
Every moment's not the same. It's not. I've seen people come to Christ in those moments. But we also see people use them excuses to do whatever they want to do and call it a moment. It's just a sometimes situation. But I want us not to get caught up and fearful of following Jesus through any moment. And I think sometimes we get caught up in how God can do things, right? That's just what we can do. You must stay close to Jesus if you're going to follow him, right? Say, "I'm the church." So here's our slide. I think I did a slide. We, the church, have to care more about souls and more about pleasing God. We got to stop caring how our worship looks, or our logo, or the size of your congregation, or if our women's ministry is this, or our men's ministry is that, or do we have proper branding, or what are the numbers, or enough people getting baptized. My gosh, we got to stop that. We have to stop it. But put it in your own religious life. Don't look at me. You're the church. What takes priority over souls in your life? Don't stare me down. I want to see your fruit. We'll compare fruit if you're all about comparing fruit. I got a list. But the church, say, "I am the church," it's time to care more about souls and more about pleasing God than we do anything else that we do. It's the time. I know it's hard to hear, but the time of your selfish life has now come to an end. It should have the day that we said, "Yes, Jesus." But now he's gathering all his spoiled kids in. If you live in the U.S., you're a spoiled child of God. He's gathering his spoiled children in and saying, "It's time to go hard. It's time to go do the works that I'm going to send you to do. And I don't care how you feel about it, or if it looks acceptable, if it looks pretty dirty, don't send me to Somalia." You can have that fear, but I guess what? I guess you don't love Jesus more than you. So let that check you. Let that stop you where you're at. Where won't you follow Jesus? What won't you do for him? I know I should get back to my notes. I'm looking. I'm like, what are you doing? Get away. Care about following him first. It's a priority. Care more about God's plan than religious perception. So moving right along. I was going to put that Muppet song in here to lighten the load. Moving right along. You know, the Muppets. And I even wrote, "Pastor Sean, settle down." You can have an adrenaline release later when the Cardinals play. Excellent reminder, Pastor Sean. Thank you. Let's go to Scripture, Matthew 12:1. See, if my past me always helps my future me out. I just got to pay attention to what I said, you know. Oh, there's a lesson there. But anyways, moving right along. At that particular time, say there's always a particular time. Isn't there always a particular time for certain things? You know, there's always a particular time. Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. Go, He went around them, not through them. First, check that out. Imagine that's your grain field. Amber waves of grain. Look at it blowing out there. If it were me, I'd be sitting in my patio going, I love watching my amber waves of grain. And all of a sudden, Jesus and his 12 disciples come strolling through my grain field. They're walking, right? You're like, oh, what are they doing? That's rude. Why you gotta be so mean? Walking through my grain field. At that particular time, though, Jesus said, I'm going through the grain field. Going through the grain field on the Sabbath. On the Sabbath, you know, that's the rule and the law. We can't be doing that. You know something that wasn't shocking? Jesus knew that his disciples needed refreshment. They've been out working their butts off for him. And they're not the Son of God. They're the sons of God, but not the Son of God. And they're tagging along with him. I can't imagine. We're about ready to have services that won't surprise me aren't 4 to 6 hours up in Washington twice a day that I'm going to be on stage for. And everyone who's with me, I'm dragging them along. You'll be equally exhausted. Not equally exhausted, because I'm going to be wiped out. But I'm going to make sure you suffer right along with me. So that's just what I want to say. Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and Jesus knew they needed refreshing, right? And at that time, that was really his priority. He had 12 guys he needed. Well, he knew 11. We're going to change the world. And he knew they needed to get the message, needed to get his heart, but they also needed to come up for air. He broke one of the greatest commandments that Charleston Heston ever held in his hands. Just because they didn't pack their lunch. That doesn't sound like God to me. Can you picture yourself saying it?
Yeah.
Come on, don't be self-righteous in this moment. You got to start breaking our haughtiness. It's a problem. It's a real, real problem. It makes the church look very, very ugly. He said his disciples, you know, Pastor Wayne Cordero, he has this great way. Every one of his campus pastors, he makes them take 30 days off sabbatical. And sometimes you go to those churches, well, why does a pastor get 30 days off? The pastor's going to be running that stressful church, hopefully, for the next however God says. And he doesn't want to burn that guy out, so he never comes back, because the odds are 80% of us are going to burn out and crash and go away. So Pastor Wayne said, I'm stopping all that nonsense. What are you going to do? Every month, I'm going to make you take a 30-day vacation on top of your vacation time. This is your sabbatical. Well, that sounds like awful selfish to me. His churches thrive. They are some of the most amazing places with the most amazing people. Why? Because he found an importance to those things. You can't preach the gospel well if you're, this is a quote, I think, quote-ish. You can't preach the gospel as well if you don't rest and do the emotional and physical work preventing your heart attack. You don't preach the gospel well when you're fighting your heart attack. Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. Man, he's breaking etiquette even, man. Come on. And his disciples were hungry and began to pick the heads of grain and eat them. So what's the problem with that? Well, it's not their grain. Do you have a problem? They walk into your refrigerator, start going through. Well, you get your who's got football snacks at home? Who's waiting right now? You're going, Pastor, I'm waiting on my football snacks. Nobody? That's terrible. You all need to get some football snacks. Come on. Imagine they go walking through whatever your thing is and they go chewing down your food, right? They're just eating it. And here's the problem. It's a big problem. Jesus and the fellas, they all know they're breaking the law. It's not an accident. It's not like, officer, I didn't know it was 55. No, I thought it was 65. I honest did. Honest, I did. I didn't know. This is a school zone? I had no idea. Well, that yellow triangle, it's called candy corn because it's fall. I didn't know. You know, no, they knew. They knew they were breaking the law. Breaking a religious perception and proper etiquette. Say sometimes. In particular situations, right? Jesus desires a different priority. Sometimes, right? He desires his laborers to have a different priority. Follow him wherever he roams. So, you walk along with the disciple. Here you are, Jesus, you chuck along, you and Andrew, Peter, and just kicking. All of a sudden, Jesus goes, hey, man, he's going through the grain field. What do you want to do? Well, Jesus is going through the grain field, bro. What do you mean, what do you want to do? Well, that don't look good. I don't care what it looks like. Jesus is going through the grain field, bro. But do we do that? How close are we to him when he turns that we turn? But you said we're on our way to Jerusalem, Jesus. You're going back on your word. I'm on my way during my time, my schedule. And I want to go through the grain field. Why? Because I need to take care of you. You're about to pass out, bunch of humans. You need your food, right? Follow Jesus wherever he roams. Follow him through the field while it's yet day. Matthew 12, 2 through 7. So they follow him through the fields, right? And then they ate the grain. You know what happens? Controversy. Controversy. It says, but when the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, now, I can relate to this verse on so many levels. You know how many times as pastor of this church, when you do something crazy, someone calls me about it, not you? Oh, I said it out loud. Yeah, that's not scriptural at all, by the way.
Right.
Not a bit. But I can picture that. I can picture the Pharisees saw this. It says the disciples were walking through eating the heads. And then they bagged on Jesus for it. Rightfully so. Why? Because he's the leader. But when the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, Pastor Larry, it makes me think of your message last week. Watch your own plow. What's it to you, man? Watch your own plow, right? Whenever the disciple follows God's priority, you should expect it sometimes. You're going to get smack talk and judged by other believers and the world and multimedia and people that you're close to sometimes. It's going to happen. It's not avoidable. It happens sometimes. It does. And to say any different to you, to make you soft and weak. It's time we let those things, your offenses over those moments kept you from working in the day. I was a day laborer and this guy took my legs right from underneath me and now it's been 40 years and the church hurt me. You are the church. Heal up, get up, plow up, go straight, get your lines going. You follow Jesus. No matter, well, they're not following Jesus no more. My first pastor, pray for him and you follow Jesus. What are we even talking about this for?
Come on.
Why am I having this conversation with you? Oh, I forgot your weak Christianity. It's all about what makes you feel good. And, if it looks good, well, that's got to stop. It's got to stop. It does. They said to him, look, which makes me mad. Don't be bossing Jesus around. That would have been my attitude as a disciple. What did you say to Jesus? Is he talking firmly to Jesus right now? Peter, give me that sword. Wow, I'm going to whop this dude. Right? They said to him, look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath. Jesus never even debates that point. Why? Because it's true. They're breaking the law that God established. He does offer a different perception of a priority, though. He says to them, and he does this a little cheeky in my head. This is a little sarcastic in my head. If you read the Hebrew, it comes across a little, or Greek, it comes a little sarcastic. And he said to them, Have you not read the scriptures? Now I'm saying sarcasm here because he's talking to Pharisees whose only job is to study the scriptures. And you can't even become a Pharisee unless you studied and almost memorized the scripture. You can't even be a Pharisee. So it's basically saying something like, do you not understand what an old man feels like? Do you not understand what it's like to be a female? He's saying to them, have you not read? They're like, man, you know we've read the scripture. You know, you can tell me. Ever have someone tell you something about a job that you're good at? And how do you like it? How do you like it? If you're out there, you know, you're laying your tile, or balancing your numbers, and you got some of your thing going, I don't do it that way. Have you ever even done that before? Do you know how to add? He said to them, have you not read in the scriptures what David did when he was hungry? And those who accompanied him, not just David, but those who accompanied him, how they went into the house of God. The house of God, and they ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those with him, but only for the priests. Now, I don't know about you, but this seems like an even bigger deal than walking through and picking grain. This is busting into the church and rummaging through the sacred food that's only for the priest to eat. By the laws of God. But David heard a harder priority from God and said, hey, this is what we need to do. Jesus said, have you not ever read that, guys? You're bagging on me. Have you? Did you not? Do you know? Do you have a Bible? You say you're a Christian, but do you read your Bible? What if they said that to you? Yeah, somebody like, don't even look at me, Pastor. I'm so saucy right now. The house of God, and they ate the consecrated bread. It was not lawful, only for the priests. And then he says to them, have you not read in the law? Zing. Say zing. Yeah, that's a dumb boom. He's getting them. Haven't you heard? Haven't you read? Don't you know your stuff? You know? Have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath, the priests of Israel, let's talk about this a second, have special times, and they have different do's and don'ts than the rest of culture. Yeah. In that time, the Levites couldn't own land. Right. All the other tribes of Israel could own land, but not the Levites. Right. They couldn't. Right. Well, that doesn't seem fair. Guess what? That's God's way. Because we all need fair all the time. I know, that's not fair. Well, it's not God. He blesses. That's not fair. He has mercy. That's not fair. You're saved. That wasn't fair.
That's right.
Didn't deserve that. It's not about fair. If it's about fair, none of us would be here. We'd be crispy. So these Levites had things they couldn't do that the rest of society could do on a regular. Jesus got called a drunkard because he'd go have some wine with the fellas. But John the Baptist was a Nazarite. He wasn't even allowed to have a touch of alcohol to his tongue. Both were serving God. I'm just trying to get us to understand God has something for us to do, and we got to break some mindsets. So the priests had laws that they could do, and they had other things that they rewarded was. But so the priests in the temple break every day the Sabbath, but they're innocent. Huh? They're breaking the law every day, but they're innocent. A special, particular, different type of priority. Right? If God tells Miley to go to Samoa and work at the evangelism school, and she doesn't go, it's sin. If Billy doesn't go, that wouldn't be sin. God didn't say that to her. I have a missions trip. Hey, there you go. Billy's like, I ain't going this morning. I don't like mosquitoes. Dengue fever don't sound good. No. She's not in trouble. But if God spoke to her and said, follow me through the grain field, and she doesn't go, I'm afraid of mosquitoes. So I got back in the South Pacific again. I'm a white girl and I burn easy. Whatever. That would be sin for her. But the problem is we start judging each other based on what God told you. And lots of times, it's not stuff that you're even doing that God told you. So you're judging people on stuff you're not even doing. So what's that about? Sounds like a disciple. It says, but I tell you that something greater, right? He says, the priests in the temple break the sanctity of the Sabbath and are innocent. But I tell you that something greater, there's greater purposes sometimes than our religious culture. I tell you that something greater than the temple is here. That's controversial. It's nervy. What are you saying, Jesus? That's pretty nervy of you. Yeah. And if you had only known that what this statement means, there's another zing. That's a law. He says he's talking to Christians right here as well. If you had only known what this statement means, I desire compassion in those in distress and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the innocent. You know how often you condemn your brother and sister with your ridiculous judging of each other? I saw this on Facebook, and I saw this. Stop looking at Facebook, because you have no idea what's going on there then. Well, I saw this. Well, stop seeing it. Why? Because apparently you're in sin, because you're judging your brother every day, and your prowl line is getting all jacked up. Well, I'm jacked up by the church. Hey, you are the church, and you're doing some jacked up stuff right now. Stop judging your brother. Well, he's in sin. He might be. God will talk to him about that, and eventually your pastor gets involved. I keep hoping you straighten your lines. I don't like to plow your plow. I got my own plow problems. But it's a problem. It's a problem in the church that needs to absolutely stop. Put your haughtiness someplace else. Humble yourself through the field. When Jesus turns, you follow him. No matter anybody's behind you or not. He said, you would not have condemned the innocent. The innocent who were doing their jobs, and you acted like Pharisees to them. Judging other people's godliness is not your responsibility. He said, if you would, you would not have condemned the innocent. You know, at this point in time, you want to pop into the scene like Jiminy the Cricket, right? Boom! You want to pop it on a Pharisee's shoulder and go, hey, hey, listen, man. What he's saying now is like way bigger than what he's saying now. What do you mean? It's like foreshadowing. Like you got to stop judging each other and you got to stop judging the works of God when he's moving. Why? Because you're not only condemning innocent people who are serving God and you're throwing your garbage at them on a regular basis and your post and all the stuff you're piling on your brother and sister. Not only are you condemning them, but you're condemning the innocent one. You're about to put him to death for all the sins that you're committing right now. I want to tell you that so you check this up later, Pharisee. Can you listen? No, you can't. You think you're religiously, you know, right? You can predict the movements of God. That's right. I forgot you're a Pharisee. But wouldn't you like to go back and tell them, stop condemning the innocent? That's Jesus right there, right? No more Jesus smashing and blasting the church of Israel. He's getting us to check our priorities, right? To live our lives and make our decisions and to watch our judgments as under God. It's the season, there's work to do. Are you a day laborer? If you've got breath and you're here, you're a day laborer. It's time to go to work. Not work on each other. Not work on your spouse. Work. It is time to go to work. What? Doing the works of God. What are they? Follow him. He'll show you the works. He'll show you the works, right? I'd like to talk about somebody's works. I want Pastor Gail and Tom to come up for just a second. I know. We're going to be closing here and it's be embarrassing them is what I want to do next. Oh, because it's a rare thing. Pastor Gail and Tom, it's a rare thing. You see him enough? Get him right here. Right here in the middle. There, just right here in the middle. Yeah. It's a special bonus ending the church today. I want to tell you something that's amazing about this process. They don't have to do any of the things that they did. But when they started this process, the first thing Gail and Tom did was pray. Are we supposed to do this? What do we feel God is leading us to do? And then the very next thing they did is ask God to show them signs, wonders, symbols, confirmations that he was speaking. And then she did a crazy thing. They sought counsel from their spiritual authorities and said, hey, we're feeling this from God. We're seeing this from God. Can you pray for us? Not just for me. They sought other spiritual authorities, and they got trying to get, because like, well, Pastor Sean might be like, no, we ain't letting you go. Actually, you know, from now on, Hannah, we need to get some handcuffs and make sure she don't leave there, you know? Forget that nonsense. No. And then after they prayed, got confirmation, sought God, got spiritual counsel, then they were looking to God for provision to line up. So this is a process. We just want to make decisions, have God bless them. You know, impulse, anybody impulse buyers out there? Sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes, you know, I didn't need that nutty bar, but it was right there at checkout. Yeah. No time to pray, man. There's someone on me. I got to get that out the side later if God wants me to have that. Anyways, they sought God, and it's something that I and that we agree they should follow Jesus through this field. So are we having the video first? I would like Pastor Gail and Tom to sit in the front row at that, please. And we're going to have a video, and then we're going to lay hands on them. If you're welcome to stay and to lay hands on us, the pastors, the worship team, the leaders, in our presentation, you're welcome to stay for this process, because this is how the church is healthy. They're going to do another field and another work. She thinks she's retired, but they both know they're not. It's just not, it doesn't, the God just, he just changes your responsibility. And so they've done good with their season here. Let's take a peek at a little bit of what the season looked like. One of my greatest moments, I'm going to turn this over to Pastor Heidi and Pastor Sharon, and we'll gather some prayer warriors from the leadership team and those others. One of my favorite moments, I had an encounter one night, and my brother was in a coma. And God called us to call it out that night. And that next day, he came out of it. That'll for always be my memory with you, that we shared that moment. That God, just from that second and that instant, did something crazy that we couldn't do, but we got to see it happen. And it was an honor to stand there. And God with you. So one of my favorite moments. Pastor Heidi.
Well, as I said earlier, this is very bittersweet for all of us. Pastor Gail, we love you. We honor you. We thank you. We really thank you for the lives that you've touched. The dedication, the consistency, the love, the prayer, the words of wisdom and counsel, exhortation and encouragement, even in the midst of some of your darkest times in life. We thank you. And so I'm going to ask if you guys could just come back up, and the worship team, you know, the worship team really has been like a family within a family. I don't know if you realize, but pretty much every Wednesday, they are together for a couple hours every Wednesday, and have been for 15, well, about 16 years. And then they're here. They're all here by 8:15 every Sunday morning. And so they really have cultivated being like a family within a family. And so they asked, can we come up and honor her? I would have asked them anyway, but doesn't that feel even better to know? So worship team, if you would just come. And Pastor Sharon is our worship overseer, and so I'm going to hand the mic to her because she has a few special words that she'd like to say as well.
Just I love you so much. And I thank you for being so faithful to the kingdom. And because of your faithfulness, there's so many lives that are touched and saved because of your faithfulness to the kingdom. And all your hours of teaching us and bringing us the things that we need as a worship team to become stronger and better as a team. I thank you for that. And I know it's hard when you had a full-time job and you had to be here. And you just sat back there and you just did your thing. And we want to pray over Pastor Gail and Tom, because, you know, Tom sacrificed too. He sacrificed his wife to be here to do the things that she needs to do for the kingdom. And they're such prayer warriors. And I looked up a scripture, and even though we're moving away, we never get to retire in the kingdom of God. We don't. It's God's will. So I don't care how old you are. I don't care how young you are. You never get to retire in the kingdom. You just keep doing what God asks you to do. And when I looked at the scripture, I thought of you. It says, stay dressed for action and keep your lamp burning. And God, even though you're done here, actually, we still want you to pray for us. We'll be praying for you. God has another plan for your life, for both your lives. So we just want to honor you today, and we thank you. And I think, there we go. All right. So anyways, I want to give you a hug. Thank
you. Okay. We're, in a second, after Pastor Tree shares, we're going to ask the elders, which is Richard, and the rest of the pastoral staff and their spouses to come up my hands, and then the rest of you guys can join us as well.
Pastor Gail and Tom have been family to me since their kids were far away. They adopted me early on as the extra child, and which is helpful to me because Pastor Gail reminds me a lot of my mother and stature built and personality. So it's been really helpful to me. So she has been Marmy, an affectionate term I gave her, and Pops. And they would come over to my really raggedy apartment and raid my fridge and make sure I had food and took care of things that I didn't even ask, like parents do. And I appreciated it very much. So I just want to say that I love you and I bless you. And Pops, I'm giving you the boot. I'm giving you the boot. I knew you'd like it. So there you go. And there's a little gift in there, of course. Of course, that's all in good fun and humor. So,
all right. Would you guys kind of center up as we can pray? The scripture says to lay hands on those and send them out, you know. And they're full of God and full of the Holy Spirit. And they're going back to help Bishop do stuff. So they're going to a great place. But if you're an elder or a pastor in this church and worship team, and if you love them at all, or they had an impact in your life, please welcome to come up and pray with us as a family. Father, I thank you for this team. Lord, they've been a team. Even through the difficulties that Tom had to face, Lord, not only is he knowing his Lord and Savior, he's been an amazing part of our team. And Pastor Gail, Father God, has held weight in this place. Lord, we're asking you to bless them beyond what they can hope or think for this next season, Lord God. Magnify the results, magnify the provision, Lord God, that they would have moments with their family, Lord God, that we Snapchat moments, snap picture moments the rest of their lives, Father God. This would be one of the golden crowning moments of their careers,
Father, this would be the season that they take the most fruit from. Lord, we pray that you would not only bless them and keep them and cause their church family to prosper because of their presence there, Lord God. Their family would increase and your gospel would increase in their family's life, Lord, in their community, in the park that they live in, Lord God. You'd bring day laborers, Father, to those ripe white fields in Jesus' name. We bless them and loose them into your hands and your protection, Father God. I know that we're sending them off today, but not out yet. They've got another week, Father, to bless the church. But in the name of Jesus, as a senior pastor, Father, the privilege has been mine to have them on my team has been great. And we ask that you bless and keep them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, be free to go roam about the kingdom. Amen.